This is Dr. Egon Spengler of the TV show Real Ghostbusters, and you're listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig crew. Twig crew. Don't we have him in the containment system, Peter?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So damn nerdy. I'll take you to the comic shop. I'll show you all the bills I drop.
Hey everybody, welcome to Beyond the Gauntlet. Today's exciting episode is brought to you by the Ninja Turtles. I'm Chris Peddle, owner and operator of the Gauntlet, and I'm here with...
Jeff Chevy Nova Dehan. And I am Mike Buyakasha Dodd. I'm so excited for this show.
Supernova?
Chevy Supernova? Nova?
Chevy Nova. Well, we are talking turtles today. It is the anniversary this year for the Turtles. They have been around for how many years?
30 years.
30 years. Oh, my God. Eastman and Liard created these fellas in 1984. And they started as a black and white comic book that was clearly not meant for children readers.
Nope.
There was blood, gore, and violence, and turtles. And they definitely have gone through many, many metamorphoses over the years. And we're going to probably talk about many of those today on the show.
Absolutely. I mean, I recently became a Ninja Turtles fan, probably in the last year and a half, 2 years. I've done multiple interviews with like Playmates Toys, with the chief turtle officer, Carl Aronian. Me and him have become friends. I know that. Yeah, he's like, literally, that's what my business cards say. I'm like, dude, that's so awesome. So when the new series came out back in 2012, Playmates sent me a shipping crate. I'd like to remind you how big a shipping crate is. It's the size of a refrigerator. So they sent me that full of every single toy in that line. And since I got into that, I started doing research for a Twig Topic show. And the first season really got me. Because they introduced so many cool characters. Some of them have gotten new spins on them. And I just rediscovered my love for them. I was also the only journalist in Canada at the time to review the complete Turtle Van box set when it came out back in 2011. And it was really weird because evidently they only gave out five to journalists, and I don't know of any other reviewers who posted it. And it's shaped like a turtle van. It's so cool.
The turtles have been... in a lot of our childhoods, I know I personally grew up collecting Ninja Turtles toys and watching the Ninja Turtles cartoon.
Yes, the first.
Even reading the comic when I probably shouldn't have been.
I didn't experience the comic too much, but yeah, no, that first cartoon was...
The Fred Wolf one, yeah.
That's where my love of the turtles started, and I think that was the case for a lot of people, and I think if it wasn't for that cartoon, we probably wouldn't have gotten the 90s movies.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and it's funny, though, because that was a movie nobody wanted to take a risk on. Like, so many major studios just passed on it.
Yeah.
And eventually New Line Cinema, which was a fairly new company at the time, because that's the studio that gave us Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff like that. They were known for doing independent pictures. And when they eventually got the agreement to do it, I think it is still considered by many the most successful independent movie of its time.
Well, that's definitely something that made New Line a household name.
Oh, God, yeah. And while 1 and 2 came out within such short order of each other, like literally a matter of months between the original and the second.
Well, a lot of it, I believe, they filmed at the same time, didn't they?
No, the productions were separate because you will notice there are changes to the Turtles' costumes between 1 and 2. It's subtle, but you can notice it. Most noticeable between 2 and 3, and we don't talk about 3.
Riddle me this, Mike, since you seem to have done your research wholeheartedly into this. Did one of the actors playing a turtle die from heat exhaustion in the costume?
No, passed out for sure. Because those things, like, because they filmed a lot of this in North Carolina, and they shot all this stuff in New York that they had to, but mostly I think it was North Carolina, in July. And I've got a friend of mine who's from North Carolina.
I used to live in North Carolina.
Yeah, so you know the sweaty as hell time.
Yes, yes. Humidity is
death.
Is death, and you're looking at days that are very hot.
I pity those actors in the biggest way possible.
And those suits probably weighed like 60 or 70 pounds
oh, yeah.
worth of rubber.
Oh, yeah. Like
that
rubber
you're
latex.
Carting around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anyway, but the original Turtles, the original Turtles created by Eastman and Laird's, which, by the way, yeah, Eastman is back doing the comic book again. The current series of Turtles is going on. He kind of did a kind of a soft reboot on everything and modernized it a bit with the run that started a couple of years ago of the Turtles in the comics, mm-hmm. Which is available at the Gauntlet, by the way.
Actually, I was eyeing the first volume of that, the first graphic novel today.
Yeah, it's quite good. I recommend it. But the original comic had a very dark approach. Like, Splinter actually killed... Shredder actually killed Splinter's master, and it was gorily shown, and then Splinter...
Well, didn't
actually,
the Rat King eat Splinter or something?
And the
I
Rat
heard?
King eats Splinter, and Mausers eat Splinter, and the Turtles actually kill Shredder, and it's a lot more violent, and it's a lot more permadeath.
Well, they killed Shredder in the first issue of the old comics.
Yeah, too. They did. They threw him off a building.
I think they
with a grenade.
I think it's something where they could almost get away with a little more because it was black and white, too.
Yeah.
It's like, it sounds weird, but at least, you know, with it not being in color, you can get away with, you know, being a little more graphic because it's black and white.
Yeah. Actually, funny fact about that, the original Turtles comic only printed 3,000 copies. And they actually had to borrow money from their uncle's tax return to actually do it. Those comics now sell in upwards of $10,000. I think the last graded version went, I think it was rated at a 9.8. And I think it sold for like 10 grand.
Yeah, early Turtle stuff is like ridiculously hard to find. And they are very expensive.
I want one.
But it brings us to the actual, which is funny. I used to own one and I didn't know any better. And I just traded it away. This was
before, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Yes, I was
please,
young.
Like you're one to talk, Mr. Magic Card.
Shut up! My Black Lotus shame.
Yes. Yes. So, Mike, you understand the flushing money down the toilet vibe like I do when it comes to that.
And then setting it on fire and spitting on it. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Anyway, but then the 90s cartoon came out. It took a more, well, it was definitely an animated approach, but a more lighthearted approach. And I think that is where most people fell in love, like
oh,
you were saying,
yeah.
is that cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah, the series, I think, started in 1987.
Yeah, it predated the movies. The first movie was 1990, and I remember watching the cartoon before the first movie. So it was definitely in the 80s at some point. But yeah.
The first arc was called Shredding the Shredder, I think. And that was a 5-episode miniseries they showed at Christmas time, I think. And they wanted it to be successful. So they showed it in most major markets and it went over so well. They're like, you need to make more of these and you need to make them now. So they basically printed money to Mirage Studios and Fred Wolf Productions, which produced the original series. And this thing ran until 1996 when CBS finally cut their Saturday morning lineup. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember being a ridiculous fan. I remember getting the stupid, I can't remember the name of the company, FYE or something like that, Family Something Entertainment, and there's that stupid yellow tape. And I remember watching so many episodes of this. I remember watching it on CBS Saturday mornings, like, so much. Like, the Turtles toys, and I'm kicking myself in the ass now. My parents bought me, I remember one Christmas, this was like 1991 maybe, I had all the Rockstar Turtles, all the sports Turtles.
I had Basketball Donnie, I think.
Yep. I had so many of these things.
My favorite character has always been Casey Jones.
Krang's android body. Now, I recently bought this again. $75. When I bought it, $25. To get that thing in box, $800.
Yeah.
Oh Turtles my toys. God! I love Turtles. Like hell, Chris. You tell them about my studio.
I had a.
It is Turtlerific. You've got a lot of toys, and many of them are Ninja Turtles.
Like I've got the sewer playset. I got the original one.
Your studio is an action figure version of Infestation. You've got Ghostbusters in this corner, Ninja Turtles in that corner.
Transformers over here.
RoboCop over there. Throwing some He-Man and Thundercats.
Oh my God, you're right. I never even thought of that whole Infestation thing. Man, that's so cool.
Action figure theater.
Oh. That brings us back to the actual live action movies. Now they actually New Line actually did do a phenomenal job with the first movie. And then the second movie kept it okay.
They made successful movies that the biggest name in it was Corey Feldman. That's a feat right there.
Yeah, it is. That's
he
a feat.
Played. He was the voice of Donatello for those keeping score.
I think he was the voice of Donatello in 1 and 3. I don't think he was in number 2.
I thought it was 1 and 2 because
let me check that.
I watched them recently, and I'm pretty sure it was at least the first and second, if not all three. Because by the time the third one came out, he wasn't doing much either. So I'm sure he probably still stuck with the third. But and those really took the world by storm too. They reflected it in the second movie. The opening credits of the second movie shows all these people on New York eating pizza, on the sidewalks and all through New York eating pizza. And that was kind of the little tongue in cheek thing of, you know, the Turtles have taken the world by storm because everybody's doing like the Turtles. Because, you know, if you don't eat pizza unless you like Ninja Turtles, apparently. But
I don't think I had pizza before Ninja Turtles, actually.
You when poor, I was a kid, because
oh my god, my parents sucked for doing food. Actually, you'd be surprised how many foods I just didn't try until I got out on my own.
And after that, later on, once the movies passed, we got into the second cartoon series, which was I believe it was 2001. Mike, am I correct on that?
Yeah, and that was the rebooted Four Kids. Version.
Now this was the one where they were drawn without eyeballs, like they just had the whites of the eyes, right? And yeah. This is the one where they ventured a little more into like alternate dimensions, and we saw the dinosaur alien type guys, right?
The Triceratons. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to remember. I obviously didn't watch that one as much, but I'm familiar enough with I think most of the different Ninja Turtle cartoons, so I just want to make sure I was on the same page there.
Looking up for Corey Feldman, he definitely did the first one. You're right there. I'm just trying to see. I'm in his. He did Ninja Turtles 3 in 93, and he did not do number 2.
Oh, really? I wonder why he didn't do 2.
See, the thing.
Big name. He's expensive.
The thing with number 2, that was at a time when parents groups were interfering with everything.
Oh, God. And they nerfed use their weapons for anything. If you actually look at the second movie, they rarely, if at all, actually use their weapon on an enemy. Like, Leonardo at one point has his katana blades out. What does he do? He throws them up to the ceiling so they stick in, jumps up, grabs the handles, and kicks the guy. Ugh.
I think the closest you got was Michelangelo using sausage as nunchucks. That's the closest you got. And I always found that a really weird part. Yet, too, I think it's a weird piece of the 90s that kind of holds up in a weird way because it is such a slice of 1991.
Ninja rap.
Have you seen the macaroni and cheese commercial with that recently?
No.
There was one on YouTube, and it features Vanilla Ice walking through a store buying mac and cheese, and he's like, "Go Ninja, go Ninja, go." And it's the Ninja Turtles macaroni and cheese. And the woman's like, they're like, "What's that song you're saying?" "Oh, you wouldn't know it." Stuff like that. Like, I thought that was really
clever.
He's
become retro now. I guess it can be looked at as cute now.
Well, so there was an episode of The Toy Hunter that he was on 2 seasons ago where Vanilla Ice paid a shit ton for all these classic figures in box or on card. So he's a legit Turtles fan. I mean, he bought, I think it was the Foot Cruiser. I think he paid $200 for that in box.
Wow.
Which isn't a bad deal.
You never know. At that time, he was popular and everything. But he might have saw that first one and been like, "Hey, can I get in on this?" If he was a fan, you know. So
yeah, I mean, it's weird when you find out celebrities are actually fans of properties. I found out through watching Toy Hunter that Zack Ryder from the WWE is a retardedly huge Ghostbuster fan.
Oh, massive! If you go to his YouTube channel, he's got little skits he's put on and stuff. Like, yeah, he's a huge Ghostbusters fan.
And to tie us back to last episode, Stephen Amell has openly said on Twitter, "Hey, how do I get a Raw hosting gig? Seriously, WWE, contact me."
Oh, nice.
That would be so cool. Anyway, Ninja Turtles.
I think my favorite Ninja Turtles thing that they've done is the TMNT animated movie where the Turtles actually... The newest version of the animated Turtles have to go through the multiverse and they run into all the other versions of the Turtles.
Oh, Turtles Forever.
Turtles Forever, yeah.
Such a good way to end the 2004 series.
Yeah. That one was awesome. It was Turtles Forever, the 2011 Turtles, basically, animated Turtles. It's a movie about them, and the multiverse gets ripped open. And they run into the 90s, or sorry, the the 90s Turtles. They also go back and run into the black and white Eastman Liard Turtles that have, like, no attitude and is very Sin City. And so, they and the Shredder from the 90s teams up with the current Shredder. It's just, it's so well done.
Interesting.
It's called Turtles Forever.
It's so good. I actually have it on DVD somewhere.
Oh, well, if we find that before we get out of here, because we're in the birdcage this week, folks, I'm going to have to pilfer that for a
week. I think I see it on the thing. I just don't have a case for it, but I'll give you a case. Yeah, I see it right now.
Check that out right on.
Oh, it's so much fun. And that's the thing, though. When Turtles is taken care of properly, it's such a fun series. They're the only series that never took the series seriously. Man, you say so many S words in a sentence and it loses all meaning. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Next Mutation. Because they tried to jump on this whole Sentai craze that was in the like mid-90s with like Power Rangers, Kamen Rider, whatever.
Yep.
My God, that series sucked.
Oh, was that the live action that brought in the chick
Venus
turtle?
Yep. Which they absolutely refused to acknowledge.
I don't blame them.
Oh, it was so stupid. However, the Power Rangers crossover is cool.
That was the dark ages of the Turtles.
I'll admit, though, for practical effects, like the suits didn't look too bad. They were kind of a nice callback to the original 90s movies.
It was the masks time, that were terrible.
At the same time, they still had, you know, obviously because some time had passed from 1990 to then, you know, the suits improved some, but I agree. Yeah, the masks weren't great. And the show itself, it was very, like, I guess if you were a big fan of Power Rangers and stuff, you might have enjoyed it, but it was, not great.
Yeah, I mean, it was in the weird part in the 90s where Turtles, the comics, the Archie comics had died off, so there wasn't the Adventures of Ninja Turtles, there wasn't the Adventures or the Adventures of the Mutanimals, which was like other creatures like Ray Filet and all that. There, I think it got picked up by Image. And it got really weird where Raphael gets he becomes the Shredder. Donatello gets his hand cut off and becomes a cyborg and brought back from the dead. And it's really weird.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. There's some really messed up comic things before IDW cleaned house.
Yeah, the Turtles went through some rough patches with that. And then IDW got it and asked Eastman to come back and be like, please save your product.
And it's funny because he, for a long time, didn't want anything to do with Turtles, and I know currently with IDW, his contract says, you can come back and write anytime you want, and I'm glad that he stuck with it.
Yeah.
Like, Turtles now, in my opinion, is finally one of the more popular brands of recognizable merchandise. I mean, especially with, I would say, the relative success of the new movie. Now, we'll probably save that discussion for a few minutes later in this podcast. Because I've got some choice feelings about it, but I don't have entirely, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever.
Now, here's something I would like to bring up, and I think we could probably fill the gap up until the Turtle movie on this, is Turtle merchandising.
Oh!
For example, this week at the Gauntlet, we just got in, actually, by the time this episode airs, it will actually be 2 weeks from this date that we aired this, so I will have had them for a while. These fantastic new Ninja Turtle bust piggy banks, which, Mike, I traded you for a Leonardo one. And what are your feelings on these banks?
You know what? I was actually talking about this with Jeff while you were back in the studio. The sculpt on these things is actually really, really sharp. And these are done by Diamond Select Toys. I'm looking at the Raphael one right now. The sculpts on him, the face is really nice and accurate. They got... If you look at his teeth, you can almost make out the individual ones. The sculpt on his shell's really nice.
I like the damage he's got, like on the under
shell?
Part of his shell. Yeah.
Yeah, he has Raphael has the trademark crack in his skull in the upper left-hand side of his shoulder area. He also just has battle scratches as well. And I'm really impressed with these. Like, they're really incredibly well done. One Turtle piece of merchandise, and I'll give an exclusive review on this episode right now. If you guys remember back from the 80s toys, do you remember the Turtle Blimp?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I see
Tis
it right
Reborn!
Now. I saw that as soon as I walked in.
Yes.
Like, the new Turtle Blimp, it's a really fun piece, and the fact that it's so much better made than the one that was made in the 80s, it's kind of cool how they've kept the retro-inspired thing with the Turtle Blimp actual cockpit. This thing, it's easier to blow up than the other one. And it actually has the same fins on it that the last Turtle Blimp had, but these ones actually clip in the plate so they won't fall off.
Oh, that's nice.
And if you look at the bottom there, instead of bombs, which the other one had, these ones have these ninja repelling lines. So you can hook up, I'm thinking, five turtle figures on there and have them rapid deploy. And that's the thing. With like Turtles merchandise, they've taken time to do it right. The sculpts are almost always fantastic. I mean, especially if you look on those older Ninja Turtles toys. If you look at any of the Mighty Mutanimals, like anybody who isn't a turtle, the sculpts are fantastic. There's like a moose one, I can't remember his name. There's a this is the rarest figure in the line is one called Scratch, and he's a cat in like a prison uniform.
I remember seeing him somewhere, a picture of him.
Yeah, and he's like retardedly expensive. And the sculpts on those things, back in the day, they told artists, you got an idea for a turtle or a figure? Go ahead. So many people got their starts in the toy industry just by inventing random turtle stuff.
Nice.
And Playmates, if anybody has cared for the property, it's them. And to swing back on the Turtle Blimp, the fact that they would go back and remake a retro vehicle like they did with the Shell Razor based upon the original Party Wagon.
Complete with the actual like retro logo and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it looks fantastic. And it's such a fun little toy. And even at the top of the blimp part itself, there's a part to hang it from the ceiling.
Nice.
So when I get a chance to get in here with a ladder, I'm going to buy a complete new set of turtles to set up in the blimp and have Casey Jones drive it. It'll hang in the corner here. And it's such a fantastic toy. And I'm
Mike,
really
glad.
Mike,
have you played with it?
Yes. Oh, my God. I actually sat near.
Good.
Are you kidding? He pretended the thing flew home.
Oh, my God. I sat here like, it's so
hand
fun.
Out the window.
another company that's that I'm really enjoying that the that a new line of stuff is coming up for the Turtles is Funko is doing the pop figures.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're doing the line of the Turtles pop figures. In fact, in my catalog this month, there's the actual Turtle Van pop figure.
Nice.
That actually has Raphael hanging out the window.
They've done
thing.
That a couple times. They did an Adam West Batmobile for the pop.
Yeah, and they also
well
and they also did a Ghostbusters
the Ecto One.
Ecto One
so.
With Winston
that, yeah.
driving it.
Has nice. That has that actually come out yet?
It comes out also this week.
I was wondering.
Damn
why
it!
I was wondering why there hadn't been a Winston yet. That's why they were saving him for the Ecto One. I had a few. I had a decent amount. Turtles was one of those ones where I think it's because. The figures were, I mean, a little smaller. They weren't like G.I. Joe small, like the 3¼-inch or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, like
but
these are 5 inches.
But they were a little smaller than, you know, your average figures. So I think because they were smaller and a little cheaper, my parents were like, we'll get one of those. So I got a few more of those. I had all four original Turtles. Now, not the original line that had the rubber heads. That
yeah,
you
soft
squeeze.
Head versions.
I had the hard, the plastic heads. I had Splinter. I had Shredder, who looked like he skipped far too many meals. I remember the original.
But he's
Shredder,
ripped.
He was ripped, but he was so thin. I remember thinking that when I was younger. I'm like, why is Shredder so skinny?
He just doesn't
eat. It's
just
weird. Because, I mean, his legs, his thighs were like the size of his waist.
Now, I know we were talking about the piggy banks and the pop figures. I do carry those at the store. Just to give people an idea, the piggy banks are $24.99.
Fantastic detail.
Totally worth it for the detail and the posability of them. You can actually adjust their arms and legs and head, and their weapons can go in their hands, or you can take their weapons out of their hands.
Well, they're technically only busts, but I was actually saying this to Jeff. The quality of the sculpt is so good. If you made this into a good 12-inch action figure, it would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Like it looks great. The details there.
I didn't realize that it was actually Diamond Select that was making these things. So now suddenly it's not really that much of a surprise that they're as highly detailed as they are. Like not even just these, but all the DC ones and
they made
the
like
Marvel
a Master
busts.
Chief one I got from a couple years ago. It's really
like
well done.
These busts, and I was saying this to Chris actually when we were on our way up here, is that. They just seem to be getting better with every line they put out, like more detail. Like you could look at the DC ones that came out before like the new 52 a few years back. And then you look at the new 52 ones that came out and now these turtle ones and like the Harley and the Joker that came out. The detail and the sculpts just seem to be getting better with every new cycle that they go.
There's
through.
Something I actually want to show you guys. Hold on. Blair, can you bring me the Ninja Turtle from the bedroom? That's beside the ponies. I want to show you guys this because this year, Playmates does a Comic-Con exclusive every year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, there's the Toys R Us exclusive, which was the movie Turtles based upon the classic one. So they look like the Jim Henson movie, but they're scaled up to the 12-inch, or not the 12-inch. Yes, but they're scaled up, 30 points of articulation, fantastic toys. So this, I'm going to show you guys this. This is the Raphael that was that you could buy at San Diego Comic-Con from Playmates this year.
Nice.
Oh, wow. It's actually based on the original concept of...
always black Aspen and white, obviously.
Yeah.
And that look at actually, the lines.
That is fantastic.
Given his coloring, he actually kind of looks like one of the Koopas from the haunted house in Mario, because he's all white and black shading.
The etched lines and everything look like it's almost like they just took one of their drawings and just threw that much detail into it. This is fantastic.
He's even got a tail.
Yeah.
You don't see that on Ninja Turtles.
I don't even think the NECA versions of the original four have it. I'm not 100% sure on that fact, but...
Oh, wow. He's got, the scar on his nose.
That's fantastic, Mike.
Yeah, amazing detail. I was so happy.
You're going to have to take a picture of that and post it with the actual...
Episode. Yeah, seriously, Playmates knocks it out of the park when it comes to their stuff, but they're not the only company that makes stuff. There's also NECA did a run a couple years ago where they actually have the black and white Turtles. They also did colorized versions, if I'm not mistaken. They did April. I don't think they did a Shredder, but don't quote me on that. Also, Revoltech produces Turtles now. Revoltech is a Japanese toy line that takes stuff, typically anime-inspired stuff like Gundam Wing or Neon Genesis Evangelion, stuff like that, stuff you would recognize. Mm-hmm. They're known for these ridiculous amounts of articulation, something like 30 or 40 points.
Nice.
And the Ninja Turtles have swappable heads with different faces on them, different weapon combinations, these little stands. They are so ridiculously beautiful. They are $60+. I'm so going to get a set, and I'm so going to be poor.
I got something that would make you squeal with glee if this actually came to be. What? Ninja Turtles? Hot Toys. How amazing would those be?
Oh my god, especially if they base them off the movies. Now, the Playmates ones, the movie collection, is probably about as close as we're going to get for right now. But if Hot Toys got the license...
Can you imagine? Well, you know what? Hot Toys is doing Star Wars now.
Have you
seen the Han and the Chewie that they released? Amazing do those look?
I think the Chewie's a little better. The Han was a little... The Harrison Ford Scott was better on the Indiana Jones, but it still looks nice.
Hot Toys. Their poor selection is still pretty friggin' awesome.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, just skeet. Turtles merchandise, like I said, continually it evolves over time. And one of the greatest things I've loved about Turtle stuff is specifically play stuff. And what I mean by that is play sets, vehicles. One of the things I bought this year, I met a really nice man down in Toronto. He sold me a near complete Technodrome for $20 and a box of figures.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, yep, yoink, going home now. I'm missing a few of the guns, but I'm sure I'll complete it at some point.
I'm going to leave before you change your mind.
Exactly. I'm like, are you sure? Yep, here's $20 leaving now. I'm like, Blair, start the car. We also saw the original sewer playset, which is remarkably hard to find complete because there's these little walkie-talkie.
A lot of little parts.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, back in the days of the 80s and 90s and stuff like that, kids weren't concerned with keeping everything intact and in the package and all that.
Well, there's an entire side industry where you can sell Ninja Turtles weapons or belts or accessories.
I remember back when I was a kid, I was huge into He-Man. They used to actually sell, the Mattel themselves would sell
extra
accessory
weapons.
Packs.
Yep,
that
I
were
remember.
Extra weapons, extra, attire, because you could get, Beastman's thing that went
hood
over
thing,
his head.
Yeah.
And they were accessory packs, and a lot of times they'd be alternate colors, too, so you could have Beastman dressed in black and stuff like that. So it's interesting. You know, they realize the kids are going to lose stuff.
Yeah, especially with Turtle stuff, because they came with so many parts.
Oh, my God.
And I always thought that was so really kind of cool. Another one that they did is they have vehicles for everything. I remember the Retro Mutagen Ooze launcher, which was a garbage can that would fling the Retro Mutagen Ooze stuff you could buy in and inevitably get crap stuck in it because it was on your carpet.
The pizza launcher.
Yep.
There, I love the pizza launcher.
There was the Foot Cruiser, which is basically, think of the Neutrinos car from the first five episodes. It's that, but it's for the foot. There was a sewer tank. There was like jets.
Wasn't there? There was a little helicopter too. Because I think
yep.
I had that.
Yep. That there was. I can't remember what it was. I think it was Rocksteady's drop copter or something like that. Something I had like it that. Too. I love that one.
All right, let's get down to brass tacks here. Like, you are a video game reviewer.
Oh, what, I was about to. Bring
what up. Is your? What has been the best video Turtles video game? Which, by the way, I do currently have a original Turtles refurbished arcade machine in the store right now, the 4-player version.
Today.
For those of you who want to drop by the store and you know, deposit 25 cents to have some turtle fun.
The best video game, in my opinion, and this it's the game's not going to surprise you, but the version might. The best Turtles game, in my opinion, is Turtles in Time, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4. The yep. Super Nintendo port, and here's why. It gets extra levels compared to the arcade version. Most of the voices are still there. The only thing it's missing is the Pizza Power song, because the technology
thing,
didn't support
the only
it.
Thing I found with Turtles in Time, because while I've played video games most of my life, I've never been very good at them, and I rented Turtles in Time back when you could actually rent video games from places, and I beat it in the one night. Now, granted, it was on a fairly easy difficulty level, but for me to be able to beat it in one night means that obviously it must have been so pretty easy. So I don't know if maybe the level of difficulty increased considerably, but the fact that I was able to beat it by myself in one night said something, I thought. Well, fantastic visually, don't get me wrong. I loved the game, but I found it really easy, and that's not actually my favorite game, but I'll let you keep going about Turtles in Time, and we'll kind of each go through our own
thing with Turtles in Time, because it was a beat-em-up. The fact that you could beat it at night is a good thing. And it was also better with a friend. Now, I don't think there was a force. Yeah, there was no 4-player option for this. You could do that in the arcade, though. But, yeah, I mean, it's held up tremendously well. Now, there was a version of this, which more of you might be familiar with. This came out back in the Summer of Arcade for Xbox a couple of years ago. I think 2009, I want to say. It was TMNT Turtles in Time Reshelled, which was a game developed by Ubisoft. And it looked cool. Or so we thought. It used the 2004 Turtles, so the 4 Kids version, and it was...
Was this the one that I think they sold on the PlayStation Network and
yes.
stuff? Yeah, I think a buddy of mine had picked that up on the network and was playing it.
It's a poor imitation of Turtles. It would have been cool had you could have unlocked the original version, but licensing probably?
Probably one of those things where, you know what, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. I mean, it's fun to play Turtles on Xbox Live or PSN.
I'm sorry. I love the challenge of the original NES Turtles.
Oh my god!
Oh god! With
all I gotta say is electric seaweed.
I beat that game for the first time last year. I will never play it again. I'm retiring a champion.
Oh my!
That game was the epitome of frustration in a game.
That game was broken controllers 101.
Yes.
Or that. Come on.
Exactly. Oh. No, that game was that game was if your turtle got touched, your turtle died.
Like yeah. The worst parts of that game, electric seaweed and the Technodrome.
Yep.
Because you had to explore this foot base to find it. And everywhere you went, there was like a million different dudes. And life in that game was hard to come by.
Now, here's one thing that I'm surprised, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Mike, but one thing I've always thought would be fan-bloody-tastic, but it was never done, was a Ninja Turtles fighting game.
Well, I'm glad you asked. There actually have been several different versions of it. There is a Genesis version, a Super Nintendo version, and an NES version, which is relatively rare, and it was called TMNT Tournament Fighters.
I remember that! Yes!
Yep.
Really?
Each of them had different lineups, surprisingly. I know in one you got Wingnut and Screwloose and Ray Filet.
That's right, because it was right when kind of the console war, in the early days of like the console wars with Nintendo and Sega and stuff like that.
So like 91, 92,
so it was one of those rare things where you got exclusives for each system, because they wanted to coerce people, you know, take the one that's got the.
Yeah, because that was one thing I'm surprised they've never done, but apparently they have.
And there was a more recent version which came out in 2010 for the Nintendo Wii and the PS2, once again exclusive, and it was called TMNT Smash Up, which is based more or less in its own universe, but had very heavy roots in the original 84 comic, because you could play as the Fugitoid, who was Eastman and Laird's first real character, and they eventually introduced him into the comics around issue.
Were they any good?
I liked the Genesis version better than the Super Nintendo version. But yeah, they are fun. They're basically Street Fighter 2 clones, because that was the big thing to do back in the day.
That was the popular thing.
Yeah.
And Smash Up is a poor man's Brawl. Super Smash Brothers Brawl.
Maybe you can, again, correct me on this, but I've heard rumorings, because I know that they're right now Midway and NetherRealm Studios is working on Mortal Kombat 10 and Injustice 2. But I've heard rumorings that they acquired Ninja Turtle licensing as well.
I haven't heard that rumor myself, but it would be really cool, because if NetherRealms does anything right, they do fighting games, and the fact that they can do hot fixes and patches to fix imbalances, I would love to see a Turtles fighter.
Oh, could you imagine that?
If it became tournament level, that would be me. If I could play Turtles at Evo, I will bust
like
my
I've been
ass
look,
to
I've been
Vegas.
Looking I've been looking at like Mortal Kombat 10 stuff, and that game looks like it like I grew up Mortal Kombat guy. Like,
oh yeah,
Mortal Kombat's always been my game for fighting. But I can, if they could do something with the graphic level of Mortal Kombat 10 but with the Turtles
and mine the entire history. Jack Swagger's out on the ramp right now. Sorry, guys. Shut up. There we go.
The joy of alarms.
Yes. And if NetherRealm could approach this, if this is indeed true, and approach it kind of like Injustice, where there's not so much as killing moves, but
just beatdowns,
big over the top super moves.
Yeah.
And throw in like the interactable environments, but make it Turtles, and throw in like Bebop, Rocksteady, Shredder, Splinter, all the Turtles,
Slash.
All the side characters. Sold. I take my money.
That would be fantastic.
Take my money.
That would be utterly fantastic. Now, my favorite Turtles game actually isn't either one of your choices. Yours is Evil, Chris. Evil game. And while Turtles in Time is enjoyable, I had far too much fun with me and my cousins playing
Save the Manhattan Project.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I believe it was 3.
Yep.
The Manhattan Project.
Best
fantastic
NES version
game. Fantastic game. The amount of sleepless nights we'd have, they'd come over to my place and we'd just start playing. And because, I mean, this was the game where each turtle had their own like special move. I remember Raphael was kind of a tornado
spammy character,
kind of almost like M. Bison sort
yeah.
of thing. Leonardo just stuck his katana blades out and spun in circles. Michelangelo had this weird donkey mule kick
yep.
kind of thing he did,
which was so impossible to use to actually hit someone.
Donatello's was all right.
I think he was just like a weird spin.
He did kind of like a cannonball sort of roll with his bow staff out. The best ones and the ones that me and my cousin always played were Leonardo and Raphael, because Leonardo would stay in one spot, but he'd be spinning so not a single enemy could go near him, and Raphael would boot it across the screen back and forth. Fantastic game.
I used to spam that like Raphael move, because each time you use it, you'd lose one thing of health.
Because while this was its own game and based on like it had its own thing, it was around the time that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 came out, so the final boss of the game was actually Super Shredder.
Man, that game is so good, and an uncommon NES game, because it came out near the end of the NES life cycle.
Yeah.
So worth tracking down.
It is a fantastic game. That is hands down my favorite Ninja Turtles game ever.
All right, I think it's time, Mike. I think it's time. We've wasted some time. It's time for this year's
worst. Oh, my God. Okay. In the NES era, the worst Turtles game was definitely the first one, because it was so retardedly difficult that very few kids I knew saw the end of that game.
I saw it. I beat it.
That's because you're not human. Super Nintendo era, I could make a very strong case for Tournament Fighters kind of sucking, because it was a Street Fighter 2 clone. GameCube or N64 never had one. GameCube Mutant Melee. But one redeeming quality of that game, Mutant Melee 3 anyway, you could unlock the original Turtles in Time, though slightly altered. Like, some voice clips were gone, some music was changed. The worst Turtles game that I played, and this was such a disappointment, this one came out last year, actually. It was called TMNT Out of the Shadows. And it very much tried to copy Batman Arkham Asylum's fighting system. And it should have been amazing. However, the camera in that game, that's the real enemy in that game, is the camera. I sat down with the host of the prototype, Jamie, and we beat it last summer, and I hear the Ghostbusters are in the other room. And it's just the art style in that game weirds you out because it looks very similar to the Bay Turtles, where they have noses and just it looks really off. But ultimately, the gameplay in that game, it's really disappointing. There was another game based upon the Turtles 2012 series, just called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It wasn't a terrible, terrible game, but it was very boring. It was basically a very boring fighter. The only one of two games I've actually 100%ed on Xbox Live. So that tells you about how difficult it is. But, you know, it's not made for gamers like me.
All right. You mentioned it briefly. We've put it off enough. 2014 movie. Go.
Oh, all right. First off, I am an apologist for this movie. So, the new Ninja Turtles movie, is it bad? No. Is it great? No. It's the beginning of a franchise. Kind of like how we discussed, I'm trying to think, how would I describe it? It's not the movie we need, it's the movie we deserve, sort of thing. It'll kick off a franchise, hopefully.
I guess you technically mean it's the movie we need, not the movie we deserve.
Yeah, that's it. I always get those two mixed up. It's one of those things where the Turtles themselves are fine. If Mikey's a little unusually horny with Megan Fox, but hey, who wouldn't be? A lot of people have said she's really sexual in the movie. I can see her being sexualized, but I do like the fact that she doesn't necessarily need the turtle. She's very proactive in what she's doing to pursue the story with TCR or with Eric Sack's character played by William Fincher, who is not the Shredder, technically. Which that was a weird switch they pulled in that movie.
Yeah, because wasn't he supposed to be? And I think they
Realized this is pissing people off,
and they brought in this other guy, so.
Which who's in it for all of like 2 minutes, really.
Yeah, but he's not really gone.
Yeah, because ultimately you can't kill the Shredder in the first movie.
No, I haven't had a chance to see this yet, Mike, because my movie budget this summer was very limited.
That's okay. You didn't miss a lot this
summer. I chose Guardians over Turtles, so...
Wise choice.
So,
we'll keep it spoiler-free.
But from like what I've seen in trailers and stuff, was that Mecha Shredder?
Yeah, kind
of. Yes and no.
It was upgraded armor.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like a suit of armor, and it was just upgraded, but it might as well have been. You couldn't see his face and everything. It almost might as well have been a robot.
Tony Shalhoub, I thought, wasn't a bad...
I thought he did a pretty decent job as Splinter.
I liked him. Just the face on him was kind of off.
A little bit. You know what actually bugged me about Splinter that I overcame throughout the movie? They made him look almost too...
Rat-like.
To the point where he almost had kind of a creepiness to him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He felt not comforting and warm.
It was the full black eyes.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought Tony Shalhoub did a good job, and I was kind of skeptical at first. I mean, I don't mind him as an actor, but I'm like, really, Tony Shalhoub is Splinter, eh? But he did a good job.
Same with Johnny Knoxville.
Johnny Knoxville did a fantastic job as Leonardo, especially for someone who's a goofy comic actor.
Oh, yeah.
He really brought, like, the seriousness to that role and did a really good job, I thought, for that. I enjoyed Megan Fox.
Yep.
Will Arnett was the typical comedic sidekick.
I loved him as Vernon.
He was good. Overall, so it was pretty good.
Did they hit your normal Turtles norms in the movie?
They did have...
Like, were they into pizza?
Oh, yeah. That's actually...
Heavily Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut was a sponsor in this movie, for sure. Okay. No. They were definitely into pizza. They didn't get into, like, the weird toppings that they have in, like, the cartoons and stuff like that. But no, pizza was definitely a major, like, it was in there, and like I said, they had the product tie-ins, Pizza Hut and stuff. That's actually a Splinter, he wanted to punish them, and they were all,
meditating or whatever?
Meditating, and, to try and get them out of the meditation, he brought out some pizza, and Michelangelo was the first one to crack.
No.
It was enjoyable. The funny thing is, I was going into this not having high hopes.
Really?
Given what the Turtles looked like and everything, seeing them in action, that part went away.
They looked like, okay, the Turtles have always been portrayed as short, and these ones were Goliaths.
Oh my god, that's one thing. The scaling was off.
Yeah, they're pretty huge.
Like,
so, like, I've heard that was some of people's biggest complaints. Aside from the Turtles themselves look like they have creepy baby faces.
The thing about
the lips and the noses were, honestly, that didn't bother me as much when I saw it. I did whenever I saw stills and stuff going into it. For the actual movie, I got past the lips and the noses pretty quickly.
Though there were some people that went online and fan-edited the stills, that's all it would have taken. Just take out the nostrils and it looked fine.
Yeah.
One of the big problems I had in this movie, they weren't fighting like ninjas. They were fighting like, well, like we talked about earlier about Godzilla. They fight like bears. They're fighting like football players. They're whipping people around, and one punch sends a guy through a wall. Okay, I get it. These guys are powerful, but geez, man, where's your flip kicks? Where's your, you know, ninja stars and all that stuff? They weren't graceful. And that's the problem. You have an 8-foot turtle. You can't make it look graceful.
No.
So hopefully they'll fix that in the next movie, because the movie has done well enough that they have greenlighted a sequel.
Especially since they're not... I don't know if the guys who were in the suits, because anybody who saw behind the scenes things, they had like these giant, like Ninja Turtle shaped CGI suits on, the like motion capture and everything. I don't know if those guys did the voices or not for them, but I mean,
I'm not 100% sure of that. Actually,
I don't think it would be that difficult to dub in other voices. So get guys in these suits that can actually perform those moves, you know,
like.
Because obviously Knoxville wasn't in the suit, and they were able to overdub his lines.
Exactly. Ultimately, I'll say the movie's worth watching at least once.
It's better than Ninja Turtles 3.
It's better. Oh, God. Head and shoulders above that. Dude. I think it's the second best live-action Turtles we've got.
I went into it with low expectations, and I think because of that, I came out pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, same here.
Blow me away, but it was enjoyable.
I walked out saying, you know what? That's a lot. It could have been a lot worse.
Yep.
And it wasn't. So,
all right, let's have some fun here. Mike, tell me, who is your favorite turtle and why?
This answer changes depending on my mood.
It also depends on the incarnation. Because I'm not trying to jump in and steal yours, but I just, for an example, Raphael was my favorite in the original cartoon because he was so sarcastic, but I hated him in the movies, the 90s ones.
Oh yeah, because he was like a raging bully, more or less.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It also depends on which incarnation you're looking for.
For me, it would be the 2012 Mikey. Because Greg Sipes, who's the voice actor, who also did Beast Boy on Teen Titans.
Oh, nice.
There's such a fun to that role. And he makes being an idiot not necessarily a negative thing. He's that lighthearted kid at heart. Like, it's really, really amazing how much fun he has in that new series. My second answer to that be, once again, from the 2012 series, Leonardo. Ultimately, the guy that fucked a pie, there's our PG-13, Jason Biggs, is amazing as Leonardo. I completely wrote him off after the American Pie movies. After watching him for 30-plus episodes
as
Leonardo.
Great. Watch Orange is the New Black and everything, you know? He's actually a really great actor, and I saw him in it was a Woody Allen movie that had Christina Ricci in it as well. That was actually half decent. I guess if you like Woody Allen movies and stuff. But, he was typecast as this, you know, like he said...
Goofy loser.
Like he said in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, I'm the pie fucker.
Yeah.
You know, but he's actually a pretty decent actor.
Yeah, like, seriously. And it sucks because he's leaving the show to do more Orange is the New Black. I'd really prefer if he stayed here.
Stayed with the Ninja Turtles.
Oh my God, he's so good. Although they're bringing in Seth Green to do the voice, and I'm okay with that.
Hey, he's Howard the Duck now.
Yeah, that's true.
What about you?
Well, as I said, when it comes to the 90s, or like the late 80s cartoon, the first cartoon, I always liked Raphael in there because he was sarcastic. He wasn't the brooding bully guy that he's been portrayed and everything. And you know what? Maybe that was the way he was in the comics. He was the brooding guy. But as far as that cartoon, I enjoyed his sarcasm.
Yeah, that was always Rob Paulsen doing the voice.
Yeah. He was always a lot of fun with that, and obviously the original cartoon holds a special place because I was a kid when and you still have that magic in your eye whenever you're a kid. I haven't watched as much of the cartoons lately. I really like the style of the new Nickelodeon one.
It takes a while to get used to because when I first saw the trailer,
it is very blocky.
I thought it was. I'm like, I saw the intro for this thing back in 2011. I'm like, this looks like a bad fucking PS2 game. And then you get into the show. Wow. So, like, they make the ninja moves look like ninja moves.
I've always enjoyed Casey Jones as well.
Even the new Casey Jones?
I haven't seen
all of them. Oh, you're in for a surprise.
One thing, actually, speaking of Casey Jones, I'll get to you naming your favorite sentence. Actually, you know what? No, I'm not going to cut you off. Just remind me, I've got something, speaking of Casey Jones, to mention in a sec. But ultimately, always enjoyed Raphael from the original cartoon.
If it's what I think you're going to mention, I was going to bring it up.
Oh, were you?
Favorite villains?
Superpower Beatdown?
Yes!
Oh, no,
Mike, have you watched this?
No, I have
okay,
not.
It's,
okay, this is what we're doing at the next intermission, man, but we'll bring it up. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Jeff. Bring it up because I was going to.
Okay, cool. Bat in the Sun Productions. They do a lot of cosplay and fan films and stuff like that. They have this one that they do called Superpowered Beatdown. And they basically, they put up a
poll, or
a poll between two guys. Who do you think would win? And they've done so many of them, some really fantastic ones. Like, they had, was it Wolverine? No, Batman and a Predator, or Wolverine and
no,
a
no,
Predator?
No, no, they've done...
Was these the guys that did the White Ranger versus Scorpion?
Yes.
Yes.
Their
new, guys.
Okay, their newest one?
Their latest one?
Casey Jones versus Kick-Ass.
Playing Casey Jones?
Yeah.
John Morrison.
Ooh. Yeah, we're watching that when we're done here.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. As the three of us in this room being wrestling fans of varying degree, we really enjoyed that. But, yeah, we'll definitely have to show you that. So it's a lot of fun. And he does a good job with Casey Jones.
No, I thought he nailed it.
I really enjoy Casey Jones in the cartoon as well, because it's not often you actually see him without the mask on, which gives him a certain mystique, a certain kind of badassness, because he's always got this hockey mask on.
So, there, you know, speaking of Casey Jones, weird throwback to my time in Hamilton. I was interviewing Joe Manganiello, who played the bully in... He played Flash Thompson in the Spider-Man movies. Now he's... He was most recently Alicide in True Blood. Mm-hmm. And I told... And we were talking Ninja Turtles. I don't know how this came up. But I said, dude, you would make an awesome Casey Jones. And I told him, when the new Turtles movie gets announced, audition for it. I think he would have made a wicked Casey Jones for the live-action movies.
I can see him doing that.
Yeah. Which, I believe, as you said earlier, Casey's one of your favorite characters, right?
Oh, Casey, and you nailed the same ones I like. But I'm the opposite. I like the angry, pissed-off-at-the-world Raph.
Yeah?
I like the Raphael with the attitude problem that's always getting in Leo's face on how shitty a leader he is, but he's never really a shitty leader.
I liked it in the new movie. They do keep that, so you'll like to see that. They have that dynamic between the two. And,
I love angry Raph. I love the pissed off of the world, because it gives that anger into his fighting, and he always looks like he's taking it that little step farther than the rest of the Turtles.
See, he's like that in the new movie. But I do enjoy it.
That's how it was originally written, too.
Exactly. I think it has a lot to do with kind of the portrayal in the 90s movies for me, because I liked that dynamic in the most recent one, too. Michelangelo is always fun in varying degrees, because he's the party dude, as the song says. But sometimes that can wear thin pretty quickly.
Yeah.
They really, in the new movie, overdid Donatello as the brains, I found.
I'd like to know why the hell he was wearing a proton pack. The whole movie.
It was your Ghostbusters tie-in.
I guess so, because it was just so weird. He has this ridiculous contraption.
Teenage
on
Mutant Ninja Turtles 3: Infestation.
Oh my!
There's your movie tie-in right there.
If you kickstarted that, here, have a year's worth of salary. Just make this happen.
Ghostbusters with Ninja Turtles cross.
Oh my!
Starting in the comics.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
Bay's in charge of two of the three properties right now.
I'm just gonna say, I'm gonna quote a line out of Community right now. I have the weirdest boner. Because that would be so awesome. Anyway.
Wow. Ninja Turtles.
The weirdest boner.
The weirdest boner.
The things that are said on this show sometimes.
I think that's we have right. An episode name.
The weirdest boner. No, I want to send this to Playmates.
Yeah, well, let's wrap this up with a thing that... Who's your favorite villain? We'll get into the favorite villain, and we'll call this one a day, I think.
One of my favorite Rat King moments from the original series, he actually, I think he encountered April in the sewer, and she was bringing them pizza, and she's like, you can have the pizza if you'll just leave me alone kind of thing. What's on it? Anchovies and peanut butter. And he looks at her and goes, crunchy or smooth? And I just, the fact that he went to that length to decide whether or not he wanted that pizza, I really enjoyed that moment. I've always been a fan of Shredder, just the classic, you know, main
James
villain.
Avery?
James Avery knocked that out of the park.
Oh my God.
In the original series. He really did. And it was so fantastic, because, like, He at one point, you know, he's an underling of Krang, but at the same time, you know, he's got this boiling over where he needs to be the guy in charge, and he's still got guys under him.
Mm-hmm.
And badass look. Oh, like, yeah. With all these blades on him and everything, plus, you know, he's a ninja that can kick some ass, too.
Oh, yeah.
Shredder's one of those end-all, be-all villains for me, I think.
I've always been a huge Baxter Stockman.
Mine too, Baxter.
I mean, the guy came up with the Mauser, which is one of the things that almost single-handedly took down Splinter. In the original comics, it actually did kill Splinter. Like, just the fact that, and then later he gets morphed into like the fly bug mutation.
He's actually the first boss in Turtles in Time.
Yep.
So I love Baxter Stockman as a character, just because. Not only did he create the Mausers, which have been some of my favorite things that actually plague the Turtles, but later on he also becomes the bug mutation.
Yeah,
for me, Baxter Stockman, I love the look of that character. I love the toy of this character. He's actually one of the few Turtles I have in my other room, complete.
He really is a fantastic visual with the giant fly eyes and everything.
Especially with the new incarnation, he's voiced by. He's a black voice actor. I'm trying to remember his name. He does Metal Gear stuff. He was on Mad TV.
Oh, and he does Green Lantern.
Yes.
Yeah,
you'll say his name and I'll be like, that's the guy.
I'm trying to think. I'm getting the other black guy from Mad TV. Orlando Jones is the other guy. This one, Phil Lamar,
yes. Also, Vamp in Metal Gear. He plays this character so funny. Like, the Turtles episodes where he's in, they keep screwing up his name, and he's like, no, it's Baxter Stockman. Is that so hard to comprehend? And he's just, it's so cool. I actually, I got this book, and I almost want to do this as like a really quick throw, your favorite piece of merch. This book I read, it was the Ultimate Visual History to the Ninja Turtles. I reviewed it earlier this year. And the author of that book, Andrew Farrago, is the curator at the Cartoon Art Museum in San Diego, drew me a picture of Baxter Stockman for my book. And it was signed by Eastman and Laird and all these other characters, too. Just Baxter Stockman, I don't know why. He's just always remained a very special place in my heart because I think he's so cool.
Nice.
So for my favorite piece of merch, it would be that book because it made me such a bigger Turtles fan seeing 30 years of history of merchandising, both bad and good, in it. And it's such a wonderful read. I read it in a night. I loved it that much.
I'm going to have to go with the original sewer playset because I owned one and I logged in many, many hours on the sewer playset, having my Turtles go against my Transformers, going against my G.I. Joes, going against my Star Wars toys.
Nice.
And it was always in the sewers.
That's so cool. That's such a fun playset, too.
I didn't have a Holy Grail Turtles toy necessarily, but I always enjoyed the fact that I did have all four original Turtles, not, you know, Basketball or Rockstar or whatever. And as common as those were to come by, to have all four of them set up, weapons in hand, on the shelf, was always a nice visual, and I kind of wish I still had them. Except for Michelangelo. I never enjoyed the original nunchucks.
Oh,
they basically looked like they were attached by string.
Yeah. Because
it was just one piece of plastic instead of like any kind of a chain.
And it was so thin.
And they came straight. So basically you had to have them in his hands in order for it to bend. And it basically looked like one of those little arm bendy muscle kind of, you know, the weights.
The bow flicks.
Yeah, kind of something like that. Because it was like he was just trying to build up the muscle in his arms. But just having all four, because back then, you know, they were all a slightly different shade of green aside from their masks. You know what else I had? This is another funny little thing of merchandise. I used to have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles doodle bag. And what those are is they basically come with these, like, probably maybe 1.5 feet by 2 feet posters, black and white, and a set of markers. And it was all in this little bag. You'd open the bag up and you'd get, like,
I remember those now.
You'd get, like, four or five posters. I used to have, like, Ghostbusters and all sorts of ones. But I remember me and my older sister colored one of my Ninja Turtle ones, and it was my favorite because she was like 6 years older than me, so she colored a lot better than I did. So it looked really good. So I really enjoyed the doodle bag too. But for me, it's the four classic turtle figures.
Good. The good old original 10 backs. I know way too much about this stuff. Anyway, on that note, so hopefully you've enjoyed this episode with a slice of delicious pizza. So next time on the show, we're going to be talking about Halloween. It's going to be really cool, talking about maybe ghosts, zombies, monsters in general, and maybe some of our memories of Halloween, well, what we've dressed up as in the past. So, for Beyond the Gauntlet, I've been Mike Buyakashadad, joined with...
I'm Jeff DeHaan. If you want to let us know about your favorite Ninja Turtle memories, you can check us out on Twitter at Gauntlet Podcast.
Or if you want to do email, you can do feedback at thisweekingeek.net or our voicemail line, 817-717-7202. We definitely want to hear from you.
And you can find the Gauntlet store page on Facebook. Just plug in Gauntlet Comics and Games.
And I'm Chris Cowabunga Petal, owner and operator of the Gauntlet Comics.